Hey guys, Footy Focus Podcast, episode 10. So round 8 review and round 9 preview, recording on Monday, July 27th.
Yeah. Hey guys. Yeah. Good work. That's a mouthful. So there's a game on at the moment. So the whole round isn't complete. So it's going. So we won't give you updates because you already know the result when this is up.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll talk about our games, our clubs, our Port and our Blues. Both lost.
Yeah,
and then we'll talk a little bit about some players and also the Eagles and the Crows. We might
touch on them. Do you want to move on to your game review?
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, I watched this. It was Saturday during the day. So the Blues defeated the Kangaroos by 7 points. So we were better this week. So I thought our endeavor was good, and yeah, structure was a lot better with Nick Larky back. So we went with a tallish defense. So Tarrant, Ben McKay, and Walker played. I think Walker was probably close to our best one. Polak was pretty good too, but we did struggle to sort of dominate. Like, I thought Carlton had control of the game, even though it was only a 7 point win. Yeah, so we were just struggling to stop them in transition. Like, I've noticed this year, a lot of teams sort of, when we turn the ball over or they win the ball in our defense, they were able to sort of slingshot pretty quickly, and our mids aren't quick enough to catch their midfield, and our defense is not good enough either. Too many errors and too reactive.
Think it's a speed issue or?
Maybe a bit of speed personnel. Yeah, I guess our midfield is not particularly quick. Like, there's no one super fast. Like, even Simke and Anderson, they're not quick. And Cunnington's definitely not quick. I think it would be nice to have some quick players. Like, we should draft some speedy players. Like, when you look at Essendon with Andy McGrath, or even Richmond with Shai Bolton, like players like that with leg speed. Yeah, and also I can't really identify a solid game plan. We seem to be kicking to the boundaries a lot from our half back. And yeah, it looks like we're trying to create stoppages, but we're losing clearances. And it's not a good game plan when guys like Huntington and Zeeble are playing.
Yeah. You think that's an execution issue, or you think that's just a game plan? Because obviously Reece Shaw is big on the contest.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. Because we sort of played similar to this last second half of last year with keeping it simple, but I don't know. Maybe it did work, yeah, but maybe it's too easy to defend against. So I think we need to cut in some slack, see how he ends the year, and even into next year, and see what happens. Because injuries obviously don't help, but it could be an execution thing. The skills aren't. Skills would be not as good. So, yeah.
How did Jai Simpkin go?
He got tagged, so I guess it's a feather in his cap. So he got tagged for the first time. 11 touches, 6 clearances, which is a team high, but it's not enough. Carlton had a few players get 6-7 clearances. So, on the positives, I thought Bailey Scott played pretty well. 3 goals. And also Kyron Hayden, he had 12 touches, but he was more assured with the ball coming out of the pass. So he got 107 Supercoach points as well. So, it was potentially he can win the Rising Star nom this week.
Yeah, so how about the negatives? So,
in terms of negatives, I thought, in sort of a positive was Luke Davies-Uniac played his first game for the year. But, you could tell he wasn't sort of, he was a bit off the pace. So he's missed a lot of footy with his groin injury, so he didn't play in the midfield. So I don't know if fitness is the reason why, but Higgins and Hall and Anderson, or those experienced guys were in the center bounces. So I'd like to see a youngster in there as well, like maybe not Higgins and Hall together. Yeah, because they're like almost 30 or above 30, so they don't have many years left. So it'd be good to see, a Higgins, Davies Uniac, or Anderson, or Dumont and Simpkin, that sort of mix.
Your favourite player? brother didn't play.
Yeah, do you reckon that's a bit of a conspiracy? Like, there's only one Mackay. Like, there's no Harry Mackay. It's just Ben. So that was there was a late withdrawal of Harry because apparently he was injured. But yeah, and no one's seen them in the same room together.
Apparently. No one's there. Yeah, I did pick up on that until I saw that on the rundown. But yeah, can't deny that it's not true at the moment. But they probably would have been matched up on each other, yeah?
They would have probably, yeah. But yeah, for Carlton, they did pretty well without not having a quality key position forward. Like, Mackay was injured and Charlie Kernow isn't playing. Casbolt and Mitch McGovern had quietish games. So yeah, I think that's a positive, in fact.
Yeah.
They're able to slip his goals and and also, yeah, we should probably touch on a few Carlton players. So the Giants off car stops, they did pretty well. Matt Kennedy, he was his third game for the year, and Will Satterfield is starting to produce some more consistent performances.
Yeah, he's been really good.
Yeah, and Kennedy is kicking goals as well. So even Plowman, I mean, not Plowman, Satterfield. Speaking of Plowman, he was also pretty good, so he was one of the best players.
Yeah, so he was obviously, yeah, Robbie Gray's goal kind of overshadowed his game, but he probably beat Robbie Gray in three or four one-on-one contests last week, so he's coming on because he's had a few disappointing years after his trade.
Yeah, he was a bit quiet. I think Marchbank was the better out of the two, and he's still to come in, but yeah, Plowman's playing that third defender role, so that's important. Yeah, we'll see what Carlton can do. I think and David Cunningham's another consistent player now. He's played 32 games. He's been playing for a few years, but he kicked two goals and he kicked the sealer as well. So, a 55-meter, on the run kick. So that sailed through. So he's playing pretty well.
What do you think?
Moving on. Sorry.
What do you think of Pittard's? Before we move on, what do you think of Pittard's push on Murphy?
Yeah, good.
Was that a free?
Yeah, good. Yeah. Probably it was there because he didn't need to do it. I mean, Murphy was just standing there. Pittard just came and bumped him. We would have had a shot after the siren, but it got turned over and, didn't have that shot. That would have put us in front if he had kicked it. But there was a couple of brain fades. Like, that was one, and I think Pittard also gave away a 50, and Higgins ran into the protected area. That was just a brain fade. And early on, Jamie McMillan went to hand pass in the pocket. And he just missed it and literally gave the ball to, I think it was Cunningham. And then, just those errors by senior players. Like, I keep, starting to echo myself, aren't I, like, week to week. So they keep making mistakes. And players that are in our leadership group, Pittard, Higgins, and McMillan. So not good. Anyway, let's talk about Port being not good.
Not good, yeah. So I think the Saints are probably the story. So they were, start off Adelaide Oval with 11 straight losses, and they won twice now in 5 days. So probably the best win the club's had in a few years. Last quarter was pretty dominant, all five goals, and Port. I think you said Port probably couldn't touch the ball at all.
Mm-hmm. So I watched the last quarter, and then it was like I was watching an absolute smashing, but it wasn't. Like, until then, it was really close. I think it was close to a level. But I watched the last quarter, and then they were just all over you, like the run, the dominance from clearances, and Port looked panicked anytime they got it. They were rushing it. The pressure was intense. Do you think the ruck battle had a lot to do with it?
Yeah, I think. I mean, I think Marshall and Ryder have both got votes, so I think it was pretty dominant performance. Laddams, I think he was mauled pretty much. So I think Ryder and Marshall picked four goals between them. So probably worked for the first time, both of them switching between forward and the centre, up 10 in clearances too. I think Hiddow's to an advantage was over 10 more than Port as well. And I think we had the first eight inside 50s of the third quarter. Apart from that, it was pretty much Saints. You probably thought they had control of the play and they were the dominant team on the night, so they definitely deserved to win. And your footyology...
Footyology's Mark Fine called Ryder, Paddy Ryder, the best tap ruckman he's seen play for the Saints. So I don't know too much about Ryder, but you would agree with that, I think.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you're going to touch on Nick Nat later. I think it's those two, like, miles ahead of anyone else, just in that tap ruck. And obviously there's better round the ground ruck than Ryder, but, yeah, just as a pure tap, yeah, he's pretty special. And it's even more critical now with the centre square the way it is.
And he's not even that tall, right? Like, he's not 200.
No. It's just his, athlete, but his leap, his vertical jump.
Yeah. And Lysette's injured still, is he, or not playing?
Yeah, he's listed as a test for this week. So, I mean, I wouldn't want to risk him, but, yeah, we're playing Melbourne this week. So, yeah, another huge test with the Latham's with Gorn to come. So, hopefully Latham's back this week. We probably need him.
Yeah. So, for the Saints, you reckon Hunter Clark was close or best on ground, really?
Yeah, I think he was pretty much a class above the whole night, all four quarters. Just so clean and composed down back. We mentioned him a while ago that he was pretty maligned by the Saints supporters, but yeah, he's definitely living up to that number 7 pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they invested a lot in him and Caulfield. So they like we've been saying, they started.
Yeah, Caulfield was good.
Yeah, and also another first round draft pick, Jade Gresham. So this guy's shown bits and pieces throughout his 4 or 5 years, but I think he's starting to find a bit more consistent.
Yeah, he's up to had another 20 touches on the weekend, 1 goal, 2 goal assists. So in a relatively low scoring game, he was pretty critical. Two recruits, Zach Jones and Dan Butler. Zach Jones 8 clearances, which was game high, and Dan Butler's probably heard Dimmer kind of scoff when they brought him up on SEN last week because he's the best performing Tigers small forward this year. So
yeah, he's been great. I think he should be an All-Australian.
Number 5, I think, general forward rated by the AFL. So he's having a great year.
Another guy that's having a great year is Jack Steele, who did a tagging job on Polk. And Steele's, I think, 3rd in the coaches' votes.
Yeah, he's definitely All-Australian. I think it's maybe the 8th out of 8 time he's got more touches than he's the guy he's tagging. So Boak only had 15. So yeah, Jack Steele probably in the coach's votes for the rest of the season the way he's going.
Yeah, no, he's having a great year. And I was listening to the Footyology podcast, and Mark Fine thought Darcy Byrne-Jones was the best on ground.
Best on ground.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe he's being a bit. I don't know. Because surely you'd think a St Kilda player, but but Byrne-Jones was good.
Yeah, he's best player again for us. Probably top 3 in the BNF again this season. Dougal Howard, who we mentioned last week, the Dougal Howard Cup, so he kept Dixon to 1 goal and 4 touches. Oh, 1 goal and 4 marks, sorry.
He had a little patch, I think, in one of the quarters where he was turned it over and then kicked it to, I think, one of your players and then kicked it out on the floor.
He had a few minutes there, but I mean, to keep the probably the most dominant forward this season to 1 goal, you'd take that most weeks. We just had a lot of players down, like Robbie Gray at 7, Butters 7, Mark 6, Hartlett 8. So, a lot of players didn't get many touches.
Yeah, sorry, and I was just breaking up a little bit. So I noticed during the week, Justin Westhoff was omitted, and then when I switched it on, he was playing. So had a look, and McKenzie was a laid out. Did Westhoff play in defence?
Yeah, he played back. So he actually, the turnover he had, so he outmarked King, and then you kicked off the back foot straight to Butler, and that put him up, I think, 11 points early in the fourth, and that was kind of a momentum killer. So he shouldn't have played. I think when you drop a player, you shouldn't bring him back in. I think we had Jared Leanett who could have played. So it's not really a statement if you drop someone then bring him back in. But I don't think he'll be playing this week. Put it that way.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that was strange. Yeah, if you drop someone, you drop them. They're not like your number one emergency.
Yeah.
Okay. So anything else you want to touch on?
I mean, the Saints, the Saints are the story. I think they're third at the moment. They probably should have been 7-1, dropped a couple of games they should. So hopefully they, don't drop those games and make top 4. Great for their supporter base if they do.
Yeah, they're my feel-good sort of team I want to win. So let's hope they can keep producing because they play exciting footy and seeing Matt Skin, Tech Marks, Butler, Crum, it's really exciting.
Yeah.
All right, we'll move on to the hot topics. So you want to talk about Toby Green?
Yeah, so I think he's I think there's a most valuable player every year. I think he's probably it. I mean, Dustin Martin's probably a close second. It was a pretty good duel watching them go head-to-head. But he single-handedly won games against Cats, Pies and the Tigers. So three flag contenders, three out of GWS's four wins. He's kind of won on his own. Biggest barometer in the comp, 63 win percentage when he plays and 48% when he doesn't. So what do you say about that?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think, spot on. Again, not to bring up Mark Fine again, but he said every time he tips, he just sees if Toby Green's playing. If Toby Green's playing, he tips Greater Western Sydney. And if he's not playing, more likely to tip against Greater Western Sydney. So 100%. He's just an awesome footballer. Like, he doesn't move like an athlete, but he's just a gun, yeah. I think Ben Jacobs has a good winning percentage too, but for different reasons.
Yeah.
But so that's a good call. I reckon he would be. Everyone would love a Toby Green in their team, wouldn't they? Just that
fascinating player. Yeah, big game player too, apart from the grand final, but he was the best player in the finals as well, apart from that last day.
Yeah, now if they make another grand final, you think he'll be right up there for Norm Smith. Speaking of grand finals, Alistair Clarkson's little jab at Papley called him a serial milker. Is that right?
Yeah, the best milker in the comp. Do you reckon he's a bit of a sore loser, or it's fair game?
Well, he hasn't been in this position before, so I think it's just his competitive nature coming out. So I don't think you should be able to say that. For a coach, you can't say that. Because Powers is different. I guess Brad Scott said this years ago, that Arpa is not being Lindsay freaky. It's a bit different to that, but yeah. What do you think? I don't think you should be able to say that.
Yeah, I think you saw Horse's reaction in the press conference. He was pretty taken aback. So second time in 3 weeks he's had to respond to an opposition coach. So yeah, definitely. I mean, I think the key with that is James Frawley barreled into Papley. He didn't mention him. Or maybe he's done it behind closed doors, but I mean, that's probably the biggest story rather than Papley.
And Luapolo, he milks threes all the time. He's sort of similar type, and he bends his knees. So, yeah, a little bit of sore loser coming out. But Papley was awesome. He was just amazing in the wet. He took a bounce and ran into an open goal, kicked it. So, his value, his trade value is increasing.
Yeah, so what do you think he's worth while we're still on Papley?
Yeah, good question. I think because Carlton had a play at him last year. So, yeah, you think a first rounder, like a pick around 10, I reckon. Like, similar to what Charlie Cameron got. I think they would be around the same age. And I think Charlie Cameron was a pick 10 at that point. So I don't know about two first rounders. Like, you only give up two first rounders for, like, the Judds or...
Yeah.
Even a Tim Kelly, like that prime midfielder, like for a small forward, I think first round and then maybe a late second might get it done.
Because he's obviously still in contract, I think, for next season and the year after, I think. So he's got another 2 years under contract. So I think Carlton are gearing up for another play at him. But yeah, you want if you were the Swans, you wouldn't give him up, surely, for anything at the moment.
Yeah, unless he requests a trade. But if he's contracted, then you've got no choice. He's like one of the smallest forwards. And I think he might be leading the Coleman. Or maybe not anymore. But
yeah, he's at 19 goals from that matches. So.
All right, so staying with that game, you want to talk about Sean Burgoyne's another tackle. Do you know, I was like looking at Fox Footy News, the website, and at the bottom there was Sean Burgoyne escape suspension or whatever article. I thought my computer was not updating. Like, I thought I had to refresh it. Like, sometimes it comes up with old articles.
Yeah.
And I had a close look, and it was, like, published, like, 24 hours ago. So what happened?
Yeah, so
deja vu.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty a bit less than the Dangerfield incident. So, again, it was a dangerous tackle on James Robottom from the Swans. So Yeah, you just got to find out. Yeah, love Bergwijn more than the next person, but he's, yeah, he should have got at least a week for that. You've got to stamp these things out. I mean, McStay's got the bat.
Yeah, it was a forceful tackle, but I don't know. I don't think he put his head in danger. That's the only thing that sort of I'm okay with. Like, he was aggressive, but I think he did enough to protect the head. And I know slinging sort of puts the head, it puts the head in a compromised position, but he did have his Robottom's arms pinned. But
no, he didn't have a pin.
Yeah,
he didn't have a pin. I think it was more the swing action. It's not a full swing, but
yeah, okay. So it's not just slinging then. It's sort of that second motion.
Yeah,
because a sling is sort of when you sort of pivot on it, not pivot, but swing your arms. But this was just barreling somewhere. So maybe. Yeah, it's like a dangerous tackle, I guess. It's the same category. A barrel tackle or something. Yeah, it's sort of like that. But was Robottom hurt? Or how was?
He wasn't hurt. I think that's, again, the key, like we've talked about. If he was obviously out for the whole match, then, yeah, it changes things. He probably would have got a week. So McStay's got 2 weeks tonight for the Jetta bump, which I think is probably fair enough. And Langford got a week for a front-on contact against McAdam from the Crows. So, I think it definitely needs to be looked at after the season because we need it to be consistent. We don't want any things that are up in the air about this because, yeah.
Yeah, I think the action, definitely needs to start punishing that. But I think we're getting slowly getting better.
You had a look at the Eagles on the weekend?
A little bit, yeah. I was sort of watching it in my periphery. But they were very, impressive. Like, the first quarter, I think, was pretty even. I think Collingwood might have been in track for a bit. But especially, like, after halftime, Collingwood just couldn't keep up. And missing Pendlebury was a late out. So they're already missing side bottom, Degoe, Howe. And, the big guns were missing anyway. And the Eagles are pretty much right, good to go. I think McGovern was laid out.
Yeah,
So I reckon you could mount an argument that their on-ball brigade would be the best in the league. Who would come second to them? Yeah.
I mean, I'd probably say Pies.
Yeah. With those players that I mentioned, plus the Addicts, Talal, Grundy. But yeah, Nick Nat was, again, special. Not a lot of touches, but his clearance work, tap work, was amazing.
So did he beat Grundy?
I didn't watch a lot to know.
I mean, from the article that said that he beat Grundy, so I think that's a big tick for Nick Nat because, Grundy's the best ruckman in the comp, one and two with Gorn, so.
Yeah.
Big scalp.
Yeah, so he's tap work, and I guess he's more in sync with this midfield, whereas Grundy, we've talked about it before, he's not. Collingwood don't win a lot of clearances from Collingwood's dominance.
To advantage,
whereas Nick Nat to say Yo had 22 touches, 9 contested, 6 clearances. So, yeah, he's got a good connection there, even with Shuey. So all their midfielders, they provide something different. Like, Shuey with his disposal, and he's got a bit of zip. He went at 84% for 19 touches. Gaff with his uncontested running, his outside and ball use. So 22 uncontested possessions.
Yeah.
About 20. Yeah. And also Kelly. Kelly can do a bit of both. So again, a polished user, 30 touches, 90%, 6 clearances. So he's best game for the Eagles. And Rashid and Redden has depth. So that's a pretty handy midfield.
Yeah, it's deep, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And they're happy being at home playing at Optus. So,
for the rest of the season, probably, maybe.
Oh, no, I think they should have to travel a couple of times. Because you guys and even Adelaide.
Yeah, two of the next four matches are away. So I think, hopefully it balances up. Because I think even some teams will be the same. I think Brisbane will go to Tassie maybe for a couple of weeks instead of them just being in Brisbane for the whole season. So
that's fair.
Yeah. work it out with the fixture. So how did I know Josh Kennedy kick 7, but how did the young tools go?
Yeah, they're offering something different. Yeah, like Jake Waterman, I think it's Jake, and Oscar Allen. They pretty much essentially improving every day. So Allen was, yeah, very good. 3 goals, and he gives a chop out to Nick Nat in the ruck. And they just provide a different dynamic. So you don't have Will Rioli anymore, and only Liam Ryan's that small. So these guys, yeah, they're a very tall forward line, very dangerous. And, yeah.
Do you think you can fit Waterman and Allen with Darling and Kennedy come finals time, or you think they're mobile enough to, I guess, to play with them?
Yeah, I think they can play with them, like especially the big grounds like Optus and the MCG. Mm. And yeah, Waterman, Darling, they're pretty good on like below their knees as well. So, and if Kennedy plays close to the goal, so it might not matter. So they look like they've got the whole ground covered pretty well, the Eagles.
You are you're not as down on the Crows as most people.
No, not really. I reckon they're sort of slowly improving. They're not putting in together full quarter efforts, and even within those, they're not putting together sort of fluent ball movement. They sort of break down here and there. Yeah. But I think Matthew Nix definitely has something to work with. They almost pinched the game against Essendon. I watched a bit of this. So it was a pretty shit game, to be honest. Like Essendon weren't that good. They're missing a few stars. It's a sort of a bottom six sort of standard game. But Brody Smith missed a goal from 45 out. Could have won them the game with 15 seconds to go.
Yeah, the Crows have a few good youngsters.
Yeah, a couple of them caught my eye. Will Hamill was one. He was a dashing halfback. So, yeah, he's very eye-catching. Maybe it's because of his, like, long hair. But, yeah, he takes the game on, and he's pretty assured by foot. So, similar to what Hayden is for us, I suppose. But, yeah, I think he might be another rising star nom chance this week as well. So, yeah, I reckon they found one there. And also Fisher Maxey, he did a couple of glimpses as a key forward. He was drafted as a junior, but I think he's showing good signs for a pick six.
Yeah.
And ex-Tiger Tyson Stengel, he was okay as well. So I think he's still pretty young, but he had 18 touches, half of those contested, and he kicked a good crumbing goal. And also their skipper. Do you know much about Tom Dude?
Yeah, he's had a very injury-interrupted career, but yeah, he's still fairly young too.
Can you believe he's acting captain?
Yeah, well, the leadership group was a bit of a surprise, but obviously, yeah, Walker's stepped down, yeah, Sloan's out. So there's really a vacuum of leadership there. I mean, who's the next option?
Yeah, like they didn't give it to the crowd boys or Brody Smith, Laird. They didn't give it to any of them. So, no, it's good on Dude. And he's a good player. He's very good.
Yeah.
He was injured a bit. I think he went off with a knee injury or back injury or hamstring. But, you could have, like, if he had played a few less games and a little bit younger, rising stuff, he's kept it.
Yeah. And Ben Keys, too, he's had a good year. Good year, the ex-Lions, I think, academy prospect, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was an academy. He was sort of highly rated in his draft year, but he's sort of reinvented himself as a tagger. And
similar to Ben Jacobs.
Yeah, similar. Yeah, he's not as good by foot. Whereas Jacobs was he's a good ball user. But yeah, Keys, he had a good super coach, like over 100. But he's providing them that negating role. So if he can come good and play like 100 games.
Jordan Ridley had another good game.
Yeah, he's been like almost the most improved player in the competition.
Yeah.
So he had like 6 or 7 intercept marks. So they just kept kicking the ball to him. He was really good, and he's had a pretty good kick out of defense as well. So I think it was a second round draft pick. But no clubs. Yeah, the more second rounders you know, the better it is.
Yeah.
And he should be in like all Australian discussions. I know I said they need like a couple of years of good form.
Yeah.
But if they've been sort of outstanding, then
They're so good, yeah. You can't leave them out. So yeah. The Roos have the Crows next week.
Yeah, we might do a quick preview because I think we took past 30 minutes. But we've got the Crows, yeah. So I think it's at Metricon. So I find that a bit unfair how Crows, they've stayed in Queensland for a month. They get to fly home, stay there for like a week, and they have to fly back. So what's the point?
Yeah, you should. I think you should have, at least 2 weeks in, Queensland instead of, like you said, four weeks off, 1 week on. It's a bit, it's too much. Too much weight.
Either make them stay in Queensland for this game, but and make us fly there. It's a bit unfair. But just I think because it's up there, we should probably win because we were a bit good. And I think our list should be better than theirs. So, but you never know. I think the ruck battle maybe we can get on top. Give our midfielders festives. Because Adelaide, in terms of all over the ground, they're lacking a bit of everywhere. But our forward line's not too bad, and our midfield, although undermanned, we still should have enough senior players, like with Higgins and running around. So.
Yeah, you don't want to be the first team to lose to Adelaide this season. Six-game losing streak as well, so. Due for a win.
Yeah, I think we're due. So, but fingers crossed. What about, who do you guys play?
Yeah, Melbourne at the Gabba. It's actually on Thursday night. 150-year anniversary of our club too, so probably should have been at home. Todd Marshall actually broke his thumb, so he's out for 6 weeks too. So
6 weeks?
Yeah, 6 weeks. So that's probably, it's a bit like Pendlebury. Pendlebury's out for a little bit and he might miss the whole next hub. Like, Marshall's probably out for the rest of the home and away season, so. Jordy Artis got a big role to play as that second tall.
That's massive. Yeah, that's potentially your season.
Yeah. Well, Marshall's probably top five in our BNF at the moment, at least top 10. So, whether that means Robbie Gray spends more time forward or Rosie, it's probably a mix at the moment. But, it'd be a bit tough because, you just think Lever and May would just load up on Dixon without that second.
Where's Jack Watts at?
He's been available for a few weeks, so but I don't think he's a four. I think he'll replace Westhoff and play half back. So it's really Georgiadis as the second tour. So hopefully
it's a big task, but he was very unpromising. I think he took a good mark and kicked a good goal. He can have his opportunity. I think of Port Adelaide, like, I don't know. I feel like they're good enough to make a semi-final, but I can't really see them going all the way with that. Going right.
Yeah, we're top with percentage still, but I haven't thought the whole season we're the best team. I think Tigers, Pies, West Coast, they're probably the top three, maybe Brisbane. So I think, I think if we win a final, it'll be a good result anyway.
We get a new flag favorite every week. So
yeah.
I think that's the West Coast this week, so we'll see next week. Maybe St Kilda, might be them next week. Some non-footy news. Did you hear about Juventus winning their ninth title in a row?
Serie A, Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Seven in a row.
Nine in a row, This is Italian Premier. Yes. Premier
League. Yeah. All right. That's Melbourne. I think Melbourne had five in a row, maybe in the 1950s or something.
Yeah. So, whereas here in our AFL season, anything can happen. We'll probably get like a random Premier. But over there, it's just the same old. Doesn't matter how weird 2020 is, nothing changes. But no, good on you, Cristiano. Is it Cristiano?
Cristiano.
Ronaldo, if you listen. All right, should we wrap it up?
Yeah, we'll catch you guys next week.
Yeah, cool. All right, see ya.